just did that grace appear. Me, I first believe.
Amen. It's good to see each one of you out this morning. If you'd like turning your scriptures to read with us, turn to Revelation, the 5th chapter. And we'll read our scripture on the 5th seal, and then we'll read from 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And then we'll read Revelation 22, verse 19. But just turn to Revelation 6th chapter, verse 9, on the 5th seal. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are written epistles in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Now let's just read the 19th verse of Revelation 22. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, excuse me, I was supposed to read 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being here this day, and we pray that you would bless us with your presence, and that you'd give us understanding ears to hear, because we know your word, Lord, is here laying before us. And if we speak according to it, then we expect you to, and we know you will. You'll back it up with your presence. Guide us, forgive our sins, lift us up in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see all of you this morning. Services, remember to pray one for another. Just pray that the Lord would guide us. I've got a little something I want to try to get across, and it may take both services to do it, but if it does, then that'll be fine, because I want to try to get something to you. If you remember last week, we had three questions. I said this slid right into the message that I was speaking on, that, you know, into that very message. And then we had one more question, and that question was, how can the seals help us? And I said, that'll fit right into the next message with no problem. Just, it'll be the very answer to that will fit right into the next message it'll follow. And today we want to try to see if we can catch that through the message, maybe taking both services on this. I don't know, but what did we see last week now? Just as a little background for something to give us a little understanding. We saw on the fourth seal that the rapture had come. Right, then reading the fifth seal scripture, we saw proof. See, we'd studied it a long time, bringing it down, how the rapture comes on the fourth seal. And then saw the fifth seal, and we saw that there was proof under the fifth seal that the rapture had already come. What was that proof that we saw? First off, we saw that there was no more combat beast. The journey of man was finished. The bride was done gone up in the rapture. We read you where Brother Brown said it went up to the fourth seal, and the rapture had come, see, to the church, because that's the same thing as the fourth chapter of Revelation where John was called up, you know, and said, come up hither. See, it comes to that place and there's a rapture. But we saw proof on the fifth seal that there was the rapture of the church had already come because there was no combat beast. All right, then in what we read, we saw that there was, as far as the worldly journey of man, you know, what we call time elements, not speaking over the millennium and the time coming in there, the little season, but as far as the earthly journey of man that we're talking about, we saw that it ended on the fourth seal because that covered the journey of the Antichrist as he come down, you know, and showed the way he was. Then it showed the church coming down through there and showed where she went to rapture. Then the last was the eagle, and that was the last combat beast that was there. And it showed the rapture was had transpired on that fourth seal, because when you get to the fifth seal, you see souls under the altar. And they're crying, see, it's a heavenly scene there, not an earthly scene. All right, I said, now that'll be the next thing we'll pick up, is to see something about a heavenly scene that will show us a mystery that if we can catch it from the fifth seal, it's a mystery that shows the rapture's already come. It shows it's already transpired right there in the seals. See, under that mystery, we'll see that there's no combat beast. See, that's one part of it. That's the mystery. But that shows that the church is done gone. But now we want to speak on a mystery that when the fifth seal, when you see it, then it's a heavenly scene. All right, now later on we'll get back to the natural parts of what it's showing, and we'll see that those, as I read to you there on the fifth seal, they say, how long to avenge our blood upon them? See, they're still wanting revenge. All right, now we know that's not the bride of Christ, because the bride of Christ don't want revenge. Now you see somebody that is wanting revenge over somebody, then I'll show you a person's not the bride of Christ. I mean, that's just sensible. Or I'll say it this way, the Holy Spirit's not working in that people at the time. Now, I've seen people out there in the denominations that they wanted revenge over somebody. Well, now, the Bible even plainly speaks to you to take not a man to the law. You remember that in the Scriptures? You're not even to take a brother or something like that to the law to try to get something out of it. See, because that's not, you're not doing it right. It says, leave it alone and God will judge it one day. See, when it's all over, let him be the one that takes care of all of that. Not even to try to sue a brother at law, you know, because I'm like this. I've said it about many a brother and maybe they'd say something about money. I'd say, well, if I could give you $100 and get rid of you, then I'd just give it to you because I'd know right then you wasn't my brother. See, if I'd cheat you out of $5 or you'd cheat me out of it, then we're not brothers and sisters or anything like that in Christ. Because the honest part of it, see, would be there. So Brother Branham, when he was covering that, he said, now see, they're not the bride, he said, because the bride wouldn't be calling out to avenge our blood. See, they'd be saying like Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. All right, then what we want to see now is there's something there. There's a mystery about this heavenly scene that I want you to catch. That it is a heavenly scene. That the church has already left the earth. See, the word has already went up. But now I read you some scriptures there that I want you to think on. I read there in 2 Corinthians where the Bible says we are written epistles. Known and read of all men. All right, then over in Revelations 22, verse 18 and 19, it says that if you add to the words of this book, this Bible, in other words, if you tried to add one word there, then he'll add the plagues that are written in the book. And if you try to take away one word from the Bible, then he'll take your name out of the book, take it out of the, you won't have no part of the city and all that we read there. If any man shall, let's just read it again. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. Now listen, Let's just take that part of the scripture there, because I want you to get something, and if it takes a while for us to get an understanding how to get it, then we'll just take a while. If you add to the word, then God will add the plagues that are written in this book. Now, I know you'll find Brother Branham, sometimes he'll refer to that and he'll say he'll take your name out of the book if you add to the word. You know, like that. But now let's just take the scripture for what it's talking about, and let's just see something as a point that I want you to see. I mentioned this here not too long ago to a man at work, and a Church of God man was standing beside of us there, and I didn't really know, I think I told you the other day about it, I didn't really know that he was a Church of God. I'd forgot about it. And I said, now, just like the, I said, no denominations in the Bible. I said, there's not a denomination in the Bible. You know. I said, like Church of God. I said, there's no such thing as Church of God in the Bible. And that man, he got mad at me. And he said, later on, he really was ill and everything. He come to me and talked to me. I said, well, I'm sorry. You misunderstood what I was saying. I said, I was saying there's no denomination, Church of God, in the Bible. I didn't mean the Church of God name wasn't wrote there. I said, there's a Church of Christ name wrote there, but there's no such thing as a Church of Christ in the Bible, a denomination. He said, well, that's right. You know, he said, I misunderstood what you was talking about. But now think. Ever who adds to this Bible, whether it be me, you, or who it is, if we add to this Bible, it plainly states that he'll add the plagues that are written in the book. All right, now, what's going to put the denominational system into tribulation? Because they add to the book. Where the Bible plainly states one God, they add three. Where the Bible states plainly, water baptism, name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they take Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, I'm talking about me and you and everybody else. I ain't talking about your family anymore, and I'm talking about my family or us here this morning at this church. See, there's no such thing as people want to call us across the country. They say, I'm Branhamites. Well, there's no such thing in the Bible as Branhamites. There are no Branhamites in the Bible. See, that's a denomination. And if me and you denominate it, then we're not in the Bible. See, there's no way for us to be there if we're a denomination. All right, then think about it. Now, what would cause us to go into the tribulation period then? The Bible plainly states that there what it causes. He'll add to us the plagues that are written in the book. In other words, we're tribulation bound this morning if we add one word to this Bible. If there's one word that we've added anywhere in our doctrinal points and things to the Bible, we're headed to the tribulation, or we'll have to get it straightened up. You know, maybe we can catch it and get it straightened up. All right, then I had rather be that side now than to be the next verse. I'm just taking the scripture for what it's literally saying there. I had rather add to the book, you know, because I get the tribulation, I get the plagues, I get a hope of heaven. The next verse, I don't get nothing. Because the next verse says that if I take away from this book, that he'll take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. Now, what was we preaching the other day? How that we're part of the holy city and the city's built because of our desires and things. Well, then if we took away from that, it would prove we didn't have anything to do with it. And he says, take away from the things which are written in this book. So just taking the scripture for what it's saying there, I had rather add to the word than to take away from the word. But I don't want to do neither one. Now, that ain't what I'm talking about. I ain't trying to give us an all a leeway. I'm just trying to show us something. There's something dawned on me about that scripture that, see, the denomination, when you put a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal of all kinds, a Church of God, a Church of Christ, a Branhamite, when you put that name on your church, then you automatically add to the Bible. Because there's no such thing in the Bible. There is a bride of Jesus Christ that might be in the Baptist, in the Methodist, in the Presbyterian, in the Catholics, in this, in that, and in the Branhamites. There might be a bride there, but that bride is not a denomination. See, then, if we add to the book, He'll add the plagues written in the book. All right, now I want you to think a minute now. I told you the other day, and see, we'll see why this question will come in. How can the seals help us? The seal has to reveal, the seals has to reveal the true us. Now that's how it'll help us. The seals, the seven seals there will reveal us in redemption. It'll make known to us who we are, where we are. You ever heard Brother Brown say, when the church really gets to see who she is, that she'll be gone. All right, if we can catch it now today, we'll see who we are. See, because if we add to the book, now get the setting, he'll add the plagues in the book. If we take away from the book, then he'll take our part out of the book, and we'll have no part with it. Now, with that in mind, in that setting, I want you to think about something. I read you a scripture there that said, ye are written epistles known and read of all men. All right, then, where are you written at? The Bible now, we're some almost 2,000 years, say about 1,950 years, roughly, after the writing of the last pages, it's 95 and 96 when this was written, we're just a tad over 1,900 years past the writing of the Bible. Let's put it that way. All right, now, when the Bible was written there, when John came to the end of his writing, that was the last thing that was said. As the prophet has explained it to us in Genesis, you'll find Eve, when she added to the word and took away from the word in the both ways because the plagues was added to her because of what she'd done. She didn't believe God. That took away from her. She had problems, throwed the whole world into sin. All right, now, that was in Genesis. In the middle, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, here we come over in the end time. Here we come to the end of the Bible here, some 1,900 years ago, and John says, now if you add one word to this Bible that's been written, or you take away from one word, you get in trouble. All right, then we come along, and here comes all time, you know, through 1,900 years. And then here you and I are standing today, and we read the Bible, that you are written epistles known and read of all men. Now, if we ain't careful, we'll add to this book. Now, if we ain't real careful, we'll add to the book. And here's what everybody's idea is. Now, I'm just stating what I believe most people believe about this message. And if I strike somebody that would happen to hear this message, and it strikes home, then you think about it. Everybody thinks that here we went for 1,900 years, and then here come Brother Branham, and he started preaching us the Bible, and he brought us back to the real interpretation of this Bible. And then when he did, the seals opened to him, and he brought us a brand new book. And they'll say, this is the, holding up a Bible now, this is the written word. And then they'll hold up a book like a seal book or something, and this is the spoken word. You know, and they read it across the top of the page, you know, of the books you look at. Spoken word publication, you know, spoken word. Now, is that an addition to the Bible? If Brother Branham added one word to the Bible that was already written here now, 1,900 years ago, if he added one word to the Bible, he goes to the tribulation. Now, that's my setting. I'm just trying to be honest as I can. Just telling you what I believe. If I add one word to it, then I'm tribulation bound. The plagues will hit me. It'll strike me. That's what's the trouble with the people. Why ain't God, they go around everybody, why ain't God backing this and that? Why ain't God backing that? Because we don't have the word exactly in line the way it's supposed to yet. I'm honest. What about the rest? I believe I'm trying, but I don't have it lined up exactly yet. But I believe God's backing it up. A man asked me last week, he said, well, the Lord's backing up these men over here and vindicating them. Said, why ain't he vindicating you? I said, now, wait a minute. I said, now, you yourself admit that church that you just named are legalistic. He said, yes. And I said, legalistic is not in the Bible. He said, that's right. I said, it's not there that way. He said, they're wrong. And I said, then you're admitting they're wrong. He said, yeah, they're wrong in what they're teaching legalistically. I said, then you're admitting, you're saying that God's backing up their error. Now, is that what you're saying? You mean God's vindicating their error? Well, he got off the point. See, he knew he was caught, and he left that alone. Because God don't back up error. But see, you can look out there and you can see Jeannie Dickinson's got more of what you'd call manifestations that everybody's looking at than I would have. But now you going to follow Jeannie Dickinson? Well, the Lord's backing her up, you know. Well, go follow her then. See, you miss the real thing about what a vindication really is. I preached it years ago to you. My thoughts of a vindication is whether the man can stay with the word or not. That's the vindication I'm following. Brother Branham stayed with the word. That I followed. Not his signs and wonders. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Then he said the signs and the wonders was never right to start with. We're supposed to believe the word. Well, then think now. The basic thought I get from what I hear people preach in the message is that Brother Branham added them seven seals to the book. I'm just stating what I think they're stating. Then you got all these others that goes around saying Brother Branham's wrong here and Brother Branham's wrong there and Brother Branham's wrong here and Brother Branham's wrong there. I've got some tapes at the house if you'd like it where there's a place down in Missouri, I think now. I might miss the town, but anyhow, I mean the state. But anyhow, this man's got a thing that he claims that Jesus comes and sits beside of him and is always there with him. And when he gets ready to play his guitar, Jesus hands him a 6-inch guitar pick. It's a stick, that is a thing that he plays the guitar with. And he says that that's for the perfecting of the saints, is he is singing and playing. And when the man gave it to me and told me about it, I said, hogwash. That's just what I said, and that's what I meant, was hogwash. But yet he's deceiving people, and this man's right, and the man's got a big, long thing there. And he says on that tape, he said, this man's never told me nothing in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass. Well, go down and fire him then. I mean, if you'd like his address, I'll try to find it for you. I told that brother that was telling me about it, I said, what your trouble is, you've run all over the country and heard all kind of these things. If he hears this, I told him then, I'll tell it now. You hear all of these things, you get it all jumbled up, and then something like that leads you off. But this other brother that I know of, reading, I'm just stating it now, if you add to or take away, that's what I want the background. This other brother was on the tape there, was preaching that we got to believe in polygamy and that my wife's got to be under subjection so much to me that that if I want 10 wives, I can have them, and she ain't supposed to get mad at me. Brother Randall said on Daniel 70 weeks, he said, polygamy's wrong. That settled that. Without even having him, it settled it. I didn't believe in it to start with. I said, a good Baptist wouldn't even fall for that stuff. But you know what? People of this message will fall for it. Now, where would you find polygamy in the Bible? You can't find it. You can find Old Testament under the law, but that was magnified in Christ and brought over, and you got Christ in the church. Now you'd bust every scripture in the Bible if you believed in polygamy. I told the brothers, I said, there's no difference in that man playing that guitar with a 6-inch pick and that man preaching polygamy. I don't differ no way. Both of them's off. There's no difference. I don't consider one no worse than the other one, although I know one of them personally. See, if we add to in anything in our thoughts, then we add to the book. The book will add the plagues to us. We go into the tribulation. Well, did Brother Branham then, Was the Bible not finished? 1900 years ago, was it not finished? And then Brother Branham come along and finished it. They said, Brother Branham said, with your ability, I believe it's on the unveiling of God, with your ability, Brother Branham said, you could write a 23rd chapter of Revelation. Now that might not be a different page number, but there's a statement there to that extent. He said, sound nice, just trying to catch me. He said, you can't add to the book, nor take away. Said, well, Brother Branham, them seven thunders that uttered their voices and John did write, said, that'll be given to someone. Said, sounds good, but said, watch what you're talking about. You can't add to the book nor take away. He said, it's got to be in the book. The mysteries that's not been revealed then are in the book. The seventh seal, unwritten silence, is in the book. It's not something that we finally come to a place in six seals of understanding, and then all at once we understand there's a seventh seal that's not even written in the book. And then we find it somewhere in Aggie's Purgatory or the Book of Maccabees. Most of you might not know them names, but that's the seven lost books of Eden is listed in there. As, you know, this ain't worth 2 cents to read. It wouldn't be worth your time. But they claim that they was written back before the Bible was written. Well, God didn't think enough of it to put it in this Bible. Now, with a setting like that, I want you to think. Where are we at in the Bible? Where are we at? Then you'll see how the seals can help us. Where are we at in the Bible? Are we an addition to the Bible? Now, back in the writing of the Bible, when Moses was writing Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all, and then when Elijah came along in the writings there, and Jeremiah, and Isaiah, and the different ones, they were writing the Bible, wouldn't they? They lived that. Have you ever noticed why is it written so much about the life of Moses? Now God, now listen to me and get the setting, maybe you can catch what I'm driving at. God wants man to understand Him. Is that true? Is that what the Bible is written for? That we might understand God? Alright. And God wants us to understand Him. And when He does, He gives us a Moses to write all of the life story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, through Genesis. And He gives those men to write those things. Now, He wants us to understand Him, and all He ever talks about is somebody else. Is that true? He wants us to understand Him, and He tells us about Abraham. Well, there must be something in Abraham that we can see God in. He wants us to understand all about Him, so He has Isaiah to write 66 books in his writing, a complete Bible. But yet He wants us to understand Him, but Isaiah talks about his own self and what's happening around there and the things, you know. Even so much until you remember the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip came to him and said, understand what thou readest? And he was reading about all the things about it. He said, how can I understand unless some man teach me? He said, is this man talking about himself or is he talking about another? And he expounded unto him the gospel. That was so closely written there until that eunuch thought he was talking about himself. David got there and said, they pierced my hands and my feet. And all the great writings that he would bring out. But now, look at the Bible from that view for a minute.
that the Bible was written by man as he was led of the Holy Spirit. We understand in Hebrews 1. God in sundry time, divers manners, spake to the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken to us by our Son, Jesus Christ. All right, then you'll read there where they were led of old to write. And even in the Greek, they say that bears out like you take a bridle and you put it on a horse. I've heard Brother Branham speak of it this way. That you take him and you lead him. He can't go nowhere except where you make him go. And that's the way the Bible was written, by man that could go no other way and write no other word except what God said. Even Balaam, a false prophet, a man that wanted to make good money and big name for himself and all, tried his best to curse Israel back there, but when he opened his mouth, he said, I can only say what God says for me to say. He couldn't add one word to this Bible. But yet, why is it that we talk about this being the Bible? You know, we say, this is the Bible here. And every denomination holds it up and says, this is God's Word. This is the Bible. Then, are you trying to get my setting what I'm talking about? Because I want to get to it enough this morning. Maybe you get this anyway. In the writing of that Bible, those men wrote as they were led, but what did they talk about? They talked about their own lives. They talked about the things of them a-living and the way they lived and how that Abraham went down into this place and he went here and he went to this place and how Joseph was this way and taken down into Egypt and sold into slavery and all. They wrote about man and his journey. But as I said, in all that, God's wanting to tell man about himself. Then Brother Branham comes along. He preaches six seals. Starts on the seventh and said, we ain't got nothing here to go on except the sixth chapter. Talks a little while on. And then he says, this is that third pull, them seven thunder. And then all at once, what does Brother Branham start doing? That used to confuse me so much till really when I read the Church Age book first, I enjoyed it. I went to the seal book later as I was instructed by Brother Moten them to not read. Brother Tatum them gave me books and all kind of books. I had all but said to read these before you read the seal. Well, when I first read the seal book, I said, I'm going back to Church Age book because I got more out of it. When I got to the seventh seal, I really was messed up. I enjoyed all I'd seen there, you know, and under the things I could understand. But then all at once, Brother Branham spends about 5 minutes talking about the seventh seal. And then he spends another hour and a half talking about himself and the things that had happened in his ministry. And I said, I don't get this. He's supposed to be telling us what that seventh seal is. And he's talking about himself. But now keep that in mind till tonight. That as Moses and all of them spoke, they spoke about what they were doing, their lives they were living, Abraham's life he was living, or something like Moses writing about them, see. And in the writing of what we call the Bible, the biggest portion of that Bible is writing about what somebody done. Now, in the New Testament, in the writing of the New Testament, it's the same way. You've got the book of Acts that writes about the acts of the Holy Spirit in those people and what they were doing as they went around. Then you've got Paul and Peter and James writing in your Gospels and John picking up writing. But in those writings, a lot of the basis of what they were writing was about what they were doing or what God had done through them or what God had showed them. Is that true? I mean, that's what they were writing, was what God had showed them. And yet we've got it today, 1900 years later, and we call it the Bible. We call it God's Word. We call that, and then we pick up a spoken word. We say, this is the spoken word. Now, I told you this is a mystery under the fifth seal. That you'll catch it from there in seeing it. But now, think. Because at the time of the fifth seal revealing, the church is done gone. Is that true? Is that what we've been studying on? All right, you're taken up into a heavenly place where you can see things. The Bible says you're resurrected and sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's the believer's position. If we can catch it tonight, maybe we'll go in a little more of that. The believer's position, that's the heavenly places, not that we're here and done gone. John on the Isle of Patmos, I've always thought that if you saw him, he'd be leaning up against a tree somewhere, taking it easy, daydreaming, I guess you'd call it. But yet he was getting the revelations. He was seeing the visions. His body maybe physically never left the earth, not at all. Could have. Now, I'm not arguing with you, but I'm just saying I don't believe he did. Jesus standing there one day to show you that it could be standing there. Jesus standing there one day, he said, no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And there he stood on earth. And he said the Son of Man was up in heaven. And there he stood right there on the earth. But now, think about it at what we're studying. The church is done gone on the fifth seal. Then we're going to have to catch something. And the background of you brought to your attention is one thing. You can't add to the book. A denomination adds to the book, they'll go to the tribulation. A Branhamite adds to the book, we'll go to the tribulation. All right? Seeing that, then, the Bible is already written. There's not a page left off of this Bible that we've got to write. Now, I want you to think on this thought now. Brother Branham said that they would write a book of Acts behind this church. He said there wouldn't be nobody here to read it. But they'd write a book of Acts behind his church. Now, I can see that plainly, and we'll get to it maybe a little later on more plainly. Because Israel can only read, and I've preached to you, Israel only gets a written. They don't read this book, and they can't read it now and understand it. It wouldn't do no good to read it in tribulation and try to understand it. They see an alive book. But now, if you add to the book, he adds the plagues. You take away from the book, you take your name out of the book. We've seen that in the writing of the Bible, the Old Testament, writers wrote and lived what was wrote. The New Testament was wrote and lived as it was written. Then where would we be to say that we are written epistles? I can see them back there, you know. Because there they say it. And Paul saying in his writing, he said, ye are written epistles. Speaking to them right there while he is preaching his message to them. He said, ye are written epistles. Known and read of all mankind. Alright? That put them there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. That put them there. That's their scripture. They were the written epistles. But yet we're taught that we've got to see that scripture for us also. We're taught that we've got to see ourselves there. Then where are we at in the Bible then? We're after the writing of it. Are you going to add something to it to bring us in? Are you going to add seven seals like everybody wants to bring? That Brother Branham brought seven seals, it wasn't even in the Bible. And, oh, it's just become a brand new Bible because he's added these seals to it. Now, did he add one word to it? If he added one word, he's tribulation bound. Now, that's, we know he's done dead and gone. He can't go to tribulation. So, that settle that. But, I mean, you get the point I'm talking about. If he adds one word to it, then he would have to answer for that. If he takes one word out of the Bible, he'd have to, his name would be taken out of the book of life. Then where is his message at? What's it all about? Everybody wants to make it that. It's got to be in the Bible somewhere. Those seals has got to be in the Bible somewhere, or we've missed it. And the great mysterious seventh seal that everybody wondered about, it's got to be in the Bible or we've missed it. We would add to the Word. You say, well, they'll write a book of Acts behind us. Ain't that adding to it? Not when I get through, Lord willing, maybe you'll see it. But looking at it from the natural standpoint, if you added a book of Acts over here, you'd have to put it after Revelation 22, wouldn't you? But yet, seeing it correctly and knowing what it is, then maybe we can see that it's not an addition. Let's just go back now to some things that we've covered before and see if we can pick this up to find out something about it. Now, is this Bible... Now, think with me. And you'll have to think a little more than just shallow halfway going to sleep to do it. To get the point now. Is this the Word of God? We say this Bible is the Word of God. Now, that's true. But is this Bible fully made manifest yet? Is everything that's written in this Bible been made manifest? You and I are still alive. We ain't gone to rapture. That's one that settles the thing. Where Paul said, be changed a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Has death been destroyed? The Bible said the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Then there's certain things in this Bible that's not fulfilled yet. Alright, now, stay with me long enough to understand. Then, is it the Bible if it's not fulfilled yet? It's the written Word. It's the written Word now. But is it the alive Word? I want to talk slow enough to let you think about every thought that I'm trying to say because I want you to get that point. Is it the alive Word? Change a moment, twinkling of an eye. That's not the alive Word. That's the written Word. But it's not the alive Word. Now listen, Book of Acts, Peter and James saying, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That's the alive Word, isn't it? Somebody made that alive right there, didn't he? Somebody lived that. Abraham and his journeys down through life and Moses and his going with the children of Israel, they made the Word alive. They were the alive Word. Then everybody gets so confused when Brother Branham says that Moses was the alive Word for his day. Then they'll come over to Brother Branham. Brother Branham's the alive Word for this day, so that makes him God. Now, that don't make him God. Plain common sense would teach you that. It wouldn't make him God. Because somebody had to make the Word alive. He's just the alive Word. But now, Moses lived what he wrote. Abraham lived what he wrote. Paul lived what he wrote. James lived what he wrote. John lived what he wrote. I ain't talking about the scriptures now that he'd say like chain the molten twinkle of an eye. I'm talking about the scriptures that explains him and talking about him. Brother Branham lived what he wrote in that seventh seal when he told about it in his life and what he had done and all like that. That was something that was made alive. But now, we say this is the Bible. We say this is the written word. See, then people will say, this is the spoken word, holding up the books, you know. Now, I tried to preach this to you a long time ago, and most of you probably know even the way I'm headed now. But think with me. The Bible first has got to be written. You can call it word that away. But it wasn't the word until Moses spoke it from his lips and said, let there be frogs. Then it became what? Not only the written, but the spoken word. Now watch. It was alive to Moses because he didn't care what anybody said. It was revealed to Moses and he didn't care what went on. It was made alive to him. But was it the manifested word right there? The word was made alive now to him. Get what I'm talking about. But was it the manifested word right there? No, it wasn't the manifested word until the frogs came. It wasn't the word made manifest until the frogs came on the scene. Now watch. Brother Branham said, and I'm sorry, a man here a while back said, you use that word a lot, watch. I want you to watch. That's what I'm wanting you to do. He said, I hear you a lot of times that you'll say, watch, watch. Well, I want you to watch what I'm fixing to say. I'm saying what I mean, but I want you to watch what I'm talking about. Brother Branham said, as long as it's laying on the pages of this book, it can be questioned. Every denomination there is built from the pages of this book and their wrong ideas. But still, they take this book. As long as it's in the book, it can be questioned. Well, but now, what would be the difference in me holding up the Bible or a spoken word book? Wouldn't that apply both ways? That as long as it's laying on the pages of Brother Branham's message, it can be questioned. Because there's 969 different denominations built on what they claim this Bible teaches. There's 969 different denominations in this message built on what this prophet said. Is that true? Probably more than that. But now, that's not the word no more than this Bible's the word. Taking it on that example. You understand me, I hope. This is the word of God. The spoken word books is the word of God and what he said to it. But as long as it's on those pages, it's not made manifest. It can be questioned. But once it comes off of those pages into our heart, it cannot be questioned no more. Now watch, Moses walked out there. He said, let there be flies. Why? It couldn't be questioned no more to him. It done come off the pages into his heart, hadn't it? It done left the pages of the book and come into his heart. He said, let there be flies. He didn't care whether it was 25 years, 50 years, or 10,000 years later. You could have had every scholar in the world argued with him and laughed at him and made fun of him and said, that ain't it, that ain't it. It was already made alive to him. He done spoke it. It done revealed to him. He done said it. As far as he is concerned, it's all done settled and over with. He turned around and went on about his business. They came to Brother Branham one time. He said, told this lady she'd die at a certain time. They came to Brother Branham, even his own son. He said, Daddy, said, I was in a service. Said, the Spirit of the Lord was there. And said, they told this woman, thus saith the Lord, you shall not die. And all this, that, and other. Said, what do you say about Daddy? He said, God hasn't changed anything to me. I'm sure as a human being, he would probably, and if he'd have been, you'd have been standing there, he'd probably said, Billy Paul, I hope that's right. I really hope it's right. I'd like to see her live. But said, God hasn't changed anything to me. You remember back there in the scriptures when the children of Israel, when the prophet had said, you'll be down there 70 years or something like that. This man come out there with a pair of horns running around all over the place. He said, thus saith the Lord, you'll be back in 2 years. You know what the prophet said? He said, amen, I hope that's right. but said, God ain't changed me. He just turned around and walked off. Brother Brown said, God hadn't changed, told me no different. The woman died exactly to the minute and a second that he said she'd die. See, when it comes to the place, now, I want you to see that, that when it's revealed to you, then as far as you're concerned, it's over with. But it's still not made manifest. There's something there that's got to be made manifest out of that. What if flies had never come when Moses called for it? I'm saying 1,000 years later, 10, what if the world had ended and flies hadn't come? It wouldn't have been the Word of God. It would have been Moses' thoughts. It would have not been the Word. See, that way you can go back to Genesis with it and say, when God said, let there be light, the Bible next verse says what? And there was light. What? He spoke it, and then it came. Why? Because he spoke it. But it couldn't come until he spoke it, could it? There was no way it could have been there until he spoke that it was there. Until God said, let there be light, you didn't have no Bible. You understand what I'm talking about that way? You didn't have that in the Bible. But when God said, let there be light, that put it in ink. It was the spoken word and the written word was there where it come from. But then, when light came, it was the Word made manifest. There are scriptures that I said that say that we can read. We can read it right out of the pages of this book. That is the Word. It could even be revealed to us and still not be made manifest. You want an example of it? Let's just read an example of that where this all fit together in the whole thing, and you'll see what the prophet's saying. 240, I read this, 245 of the Pergamon Church Age book, book 5. Now you can't do that until God has revealed to you then what that case should be. Then when you know what the case should be, then you can say, like Jesus, he was the Word, is that right? Yet Jesus, the man of the tabernacle, said, I do nothing except the Father shows me. Then it's not the Word until it's made manifest to you. Now watch his setting. He's not saying that this Bible's not the Word. He's not saying that there's not a spoken Word there. He's saying the Word, that it's not fully, in other words, the Word hasn't proved itself yet. Tonight, the Lord willing, we'll try to get to where the bride is supposed to vindicate Malachi 4, vindicate Luke 17:30, vindicate Revelation 10:7. Vindicate it. Make it alive. Then it can't be questioned. They can't argue with it then. Once it's alive, they can't argue with it no more. Then it's not the Word until it's made manifest to you. You get it? Now watch what he's saying. Watch his background. No wonder people say, days of miracles is past. The Word isn't manifest to them. No wonder they can't believe in the Holy Spirit. The Word's not manifest to them. No wonder they can't see the revelation of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. The Word isn't manifest to them. And yet they don't have one scripture to go on. Now think about it. You can have the Bible right here, and we've got it in our possession, that says, by his stripes I am healed. One in Isaiah and one in James. One saying we're healed, other one said are healed. Alright, you can say to me, you can say, Brother Dale, that's been revealed to me that I'm healed. And you go right on getting sicker and sicker. Because that's just what I'm showing you. Moses would say, let there be flies. Turn and walk off. Might be 10 minutes or 10 hours later before the flies come. That has nothing to do with it. Already revealed to him, he just walks off. That's settled to him. He done what God told him to. He spoke the Word. We say, the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And we're taught that we are to say that ourselves, not to just say, by his stripes I'm healed, but say, by his stripes Samuel Dale is healed. Put myself in there, see. Alright, it's revealed to me, say that I'm healed of something. What does it matter if it's 20 years later before it's a manifestation? But with that example, looking at it that way, you see it's not fully made manifest until the healing comes to you. There's something about you have got to be healed. Then it's the manifested word. Then the word is alive standing there and cannot be questioned no more. Now, you can tell me, you can say, Brother Dale, I've read it there. It says, by his stripes, Peggy Dale, she's healed of all that trouble she's got. Why, she can say, well, now, honey, it's been revealed to me. Well, you know, it ain't no problem with her, but I can still question that. I can say, you feeling better? No, I don't feel no better. Well, you must not have got it. I don't know, because if you'd got it, you'd be feeling better. She can say, well, listen, I ain't got no question. I'm healed. That's one way to surely find out whether you're healed or not. A good way to find out where you're saved or not. If I can tear down your belief, then there's something wrong with it. You tell me I'm healed, and I'll talk to you about 5 minutes to find out where you're healed or not. You tell me, say, I'm healed, but I'm still hurting. Now, you're not healed. You're not healed by your own thoughts. Because you just displayed them wrong. Now, you say, by his stripes I am healed, and I believe that in the Revelation, and I'm still sick as a dog. That has nothing to do with it. I say, amen. Hang on, because it'll be made manifest. But what I'm talking about is the fifth seal shows you, even though it just plainly talks about the Jews and things, it shows you the rapture of the Word has already come, and somebody has already caught the mystery. What mystery? The mystery that somewhere in that seal, and shows us something from that. It's not made, it's not the word until it's made manifest. It's just your thought. Then maybe spoken. But it's not the word till it's made manifest. Changed a moment, twinkle of an eye. It could be revealed right here this morning that we're already changed. That's not the manifested word I'm talking about that the seals reveal. That's the revealed word. That's fine. That's the written word. That's fine. But that's not the manifested word. And see, we can say, by his stripes I'm healed. And God actually, now watch, God actually healed us. It can be revealed to you. You say, well, then what happened then? Then you can turn around and doubt can take away your healing. Doubt. Brother Branham said the two worst things is against God is time and sight. Because we say, by his stripes I'm healed. Now time then works in it that we get sicker and sicker and sicker and longer and linger in that hurting and all. And then after a while we say, well, maybe I didn't get healed to start with. Well, then right there, see, you lose it. You lose it right there. Faith then just hangs on and says, time, sight, I've got a cancer this big on me. 5 years later, I got one this big. That's sight. That's time. But Revelation says, forget it. So now I'm just waiting for the manifestation. See, there'll be somebody standing here upon this earth one day that'll say that I am changed, that I am not going to die, that it's been revealed to me that death is already destroyed, and I won't have to go that way. And them scriptures will come right off of them pages then and make itself manifest in the person and change the person, proving that it was a revelation. But we just talk about the Word. We say, well, the Word's going up in the rapture. All right, now what part of the Word are we? I want you to think about that this evening now. What part of the Word are we? I want to know from your thoughts. Now, I'd like you to write it down on paper. You don't have to turn it into me, but write it down where you'd have it there before you and look at your thoughts about the Word until we can cover it a little more. The Scriptures, now, see what I'm talking about on that? The Scripture says that we'll be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. That is, until the hour is made manifest of that, that is a prophecy. That is a prophecy of the future. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? That is a prophecy of the future. We read out of these books, the bride of Christ will become the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If we ain't there, that's the fullness. I mean, that's a prophecy of when it will be the fullness later. The prophet tells us we're changed and we're going to heaven, preach the future home. That's a prophecy. But somewhere prophecy comes to manifestation. Now that's what we want to see. Manifest means to make alive. Then it can't be questioned no more. There's things that the Lord's revealed to me that I don't care what anybody comes along or whose name he is or how much he walked with the prophet or fished with him or hunted with him. This man that's got the guitar pick and all of these things going in the singing claims it. Reads from the prophet how that God don't take his, he takes his man, but he don't take his spirit, and his spirit come back on me. That's what he's claiming. He's claiming to be the voice of the archangel. Now that's, to me, it's just hogwash. Brother Lee Vail had a good quote for it. But yet that'll catch a lot of people and deceive a lot of people. So is all these other doctrines just went about. Caught them and deceived them. You say, if, but all I got to do, Brother Dale, is just be sincere. You won't argue with that in a while. All I got to do is just be sincere now. Just be sincere, and the Lord knows my heart. You think he don't know that woman's heart over yonder that's in Africa right now, that because some priest told her she takes her little baby that she's gave birth to and she's nursed that little feller and carried him and loved him and protected him from all of the dangers of the jungles and everything, and then one day the priest says, take your baby and throw it to the alligator. You think she ain't sincere? Don't talk about sincerity then to me that way. Oh, if I'll just be sincere. I'm talking about somebody's got to make the word alive. And if it ain't alive to you, then sincerity ain't going to help you none. You say, yeah, it will. No, revelation helps you, not sincerity. Sincerity might bring you to the place that God can reveal to you, but sincerity is not revelation. But now you think about it this afternoon, and then maybe we'll see what those seals can do for us. Think about it. Where are we at when would the background of give you? This Bible's already written. Then where are we at? Are we an addition? Is the book of Acts that's to be written behind this church, is that an addition to the Bible? Are the seven seals the prophet spoke of, especially the seventh one of the seven thunders, is that something to be added to the Bible? Are we written epistles known and read of all mankind? Be careful. You make an addition to the Word. But now listen, I won't leave you that away. The Word, you can't add to it. You don't have to worry about the bride of Christ. She can't add to the Word. She won't take away from the Word. She might have troubles for a while, but she'll come to the right place. We will find our place in the Word. It's in the Bible. Our place is right here in this Bible. There's scriptures here in this Bible that I just quoted you a couple of while ago that somebody's got to make manifest. Then those scriptures is for me and you to make manifest, but we've got to see ourselves somewhere else before we can make them manifest. You say, I'm in Luke 17:30. Brother Ryan said, we've vindicated. You say, Malachi 4 is where we're at. He said, we've vindicated. Revelations 10:7, that's where we're at. He said, we've vindicated. Vindicated is the last stage, like manifestation is the last stage. Somewhere we've got to find ourselves in the Word, and do as Brother Branham said on page 288 of the seal book. He said, this is God's thought. He said he put it in his Bible, his word. He said, then it becomes our thought. It's not the word then. Read what he said. It's not the word when it just comes as our thought. He said, then we speak it, and it becomes the word. Then we'll have to find our place, because the prophet said when the church finds her place and knows who she is, she'll be gone. Then we've got to find it in this word. Don't lay your Bible down and say, I'll study the message and find my place. The message will only tell you your place is in the Bible. Don't lay the message down and take the Bible and say, I'll find my place, because you can't find it without someone to direct you. You'll be standing like the Ethiopian eunuch that says, is this Bible talking of another or himself that he's talking about? See, with them both together, we'll come out with the spoken word. And that has to be through us. And then that'll go on to be the manifested. What if Brother Branham said, let there be squirrels, and there would never a squirrel come out there? Was that the word? Now, when he said, let there be squirrels, was that an addition to the Bible? You can't read that in the Bible nowhere, can you? Is there a scripture in this Bible anywhere that says, let there be squirrels? There's not, are there? But when Brother Branham picked it up, he said, it's right there in the Bible. Now, where did he put it in the Bible? Mark 11. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and doubt not in your heart, you can have whatsoever you say. And the Lord says, that scripture is just as true as all of the rest. Said, now you're hunting. Said, speak it, and it'll be there. And he said, let there be a squirrel, and the squirrel come out on the limb. He said, I'd no more than pull my finger back to where it was. Then the church of the living God, you don't mean you don't have to come to the place of saying, everybody wants to do that. Let there be a squirrel, and there's a squirrel. Look at there, boy, I got a squirrel out there. You want to go down to a cheap magician? I heard of a man one time that this fellow went to this man about it to ask him about some questions of it. The man says, ask anything you want to, and it'll be before you. The man said he thought of something so hard that he didn't. No way, he said, two tuna fish from the South Sea. He said, no more than it spoken as two wet tuna fish flopping on the floor. Janus and Jambres, when they withstood Moses back there, when Moses throwed down his rod, they throwed theirs down. His became a snake, theirs became a snake. See, you can't go that way. You will see it get worse and worse and worse. If you think it's got into some things now, wait a little while. I've said that years ago, didn't I? How many can remember me saying that years ago? If you think it's got bad, just wait a little while. It's got worse ever since then, hasn't it? It's got more deceiving ever since then, hasn't it? Even to a man with a 6-inch guitar pick. And what he says might even come to pass. I ain't going to argue with it. What he said down through life might come to pass. I ain't going to argue with it. But I say hogwash. But I say there's a bride of Jesus Christ that she'll find her place right here in the Bible. If she finds her place right here in the Bible, then she'll know who she is and she'll know where to stand in. And Satan cannot prevail against the church then, can he? Upon this rock, this Bible, this word, this revelation, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then where are we at in the Bible? Where are we at? It's got to be found in the Word. But I'm glad that there's a God that can give us an answer. I'm glad that there's a God, George, would you come, that can give an answer to a group of people that wants to know who they are. That they'll ask Him and say, Lord, show us who we are. We've been told that we've got to know who we are. He said, now show us who we are. And He'll show us right from the Word who we are. Let's stand together.
Let's just sing number 220. Let's just leave it that way, just as I am. Then the Lord will show us who we are. If I go any further, it'd take too long. I don't want to tire you out. I want you to get it. I think most of you got the background this morning of what I'm talking about. I don't want you to get so tired that you won't get what I'm talking about. So we'll divide that two or three services. See, I want you to think. As long as I can get you to thinking in the right channel, then the Lord will reveal to us. But if I don't get you in the right channel, then there's no need of trying. You know, just might as well forget it and go back and try it again some other time. We've got to find our place in the Bible, and we'll find it, the Lord willing. But just take all I've said this morning. Now go home and just think over it. Think about how the Bible was written. Think about the things down through the Bible and how it was written and how those people lived that Bible. But think about that Bible's already, God stopped writing. If we add one word to it, that'd be writing again. We can't have that. We've got to be in the Word somewhere then. And then God will show us. It'll come right down through the Word. Then we can look back and say, there I am. I'm a written epistle, known and read and known of all men. There I am, Malachi 4. There I am, Luke 17:30. There I am, Revelation 10. There I am, John 3:16. There I am in the Word. There I am. I am the Word. Oh, it means a lot to be a Christian. It means a lot. Because you are the Word. For this hour. For this hour. The Word. Luther made alive his Word. We've got to make alive the Word. Let's sing this. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Are you longing to see your place? Are you longing to find your place in the body of Christ? Are you? Then there's got to be a place there for you. Are you satisfied just going along, just haphazardly? I don't think any of us are that away, because there'd be a lot of good places to be this morning. There'd be a lot of places to be this morning. We could be out into the world, having fun, as they call it. Instead of that, we're here. The Lord sees that and knows that. He knows that effort was made. He knows you got a choice. You chose to be here. You might not understand, but you're here. Then the Lord knows how to work on that part. That's what I like about it. He knows how to work right there on that place. That he can bring our thoughts right to the place that it needs to be. Remember the other day when I was preaching about that Moses saw the reproach of Christ and counted it greater riches than all of Egypt. You and I this day see the reproach. We could be out there with the world today and all of their great glorious things they call it. Instead of that, we're here in a little old building, run-down place, listening to somebody talk about Christ. The Lord sees that. He'll honor it too. So just think on it now. Just as I take the light, thou wilt receive, will welcome part. Anyone has a need. Freely, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Amen. appreciate each one of you being out this morning. Just think on these things until tonight. Maybe the Lord will show us a few things. Don't forget we have a new book, book number 2. I had the books changed over into my name where it'd be sent here to we could get them to the church and all. We wouldn't have gotten them, but just had them put in my name to where we could get them, and we had a little trouble there with it because I have to make out a name print, and I called them this week and talked to them, and they sent them right on out to us. And if I have to, I'll call them every time to make sure they send them to us. But just get you a copy of them and make sure that those that need the copies, that you take them to them and that they can have them. We're not trying to cut anybody out. We're just trying to get everything to where that we can handle all of it and mail in the money to the spoken word and everything, get it all together. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, Father, we thank you for your loving grace, your kindness unto us. We pray that you might just grant us understanding. Lord, just give us this day our daily bread. Lift us up in your spirit of grace. And may, Lord, your people see what we're trying to say, because it's you and your people anyway. Guide us now. Be with each one as they travel on their way home. Protect them, supply the necessary financial need, but also, Lord, the spiritual need. Guide each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.